This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
All right, the House Committee on Appropriations will come to order. Mr. Secretary, we call the roll, please.
Representative Duba.
Here.
Fitzgerald.
Present.
Gross.
Absent, excused.
Haugard.
Here.
May.
Here.
Mills.
Here.
Mullally.
Here.
Vice Chair Howard.
Here.
Chair Carr.
Here.
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
We have a quorum. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Okay, today we have four bills up. We're going to kind of go rather quickly here to get things started. Just a reminder to everybody, please mute your phones, send them to vibrate. If you plan to testify, please sign in. Have the pages get a copy to Representative Howard. We're going to jump into it. I'm actually going to, since I'm not on site, I'm going to hand it over to Representative Howard to take over the rest of the meeting. So, Representative Howard, if you want to introduce the pages and get the meeting going, I'd appreciate it, and I will try to be on standby here. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right. So you guys heard, Mr. Chair, if the pages – yep, the pages are both here. If you guys wouldn't mind stepping up to the microphone and introducing yourselves and tell us what your future plans are, as well as your favorite ice cream.
My name is Avery Wolf, and I'm a senior at Loyola High School. I plan to attend STSU to major in exercise science, and my favorite ice cream is cotton candy.
I am Liza Konishny, and I am a junior at Sunshine Bible Academy. I don't know what I want to do after high school yet. And I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I do like ice cream, so...
All right, thank you so much. All right, because it is so late in the afternoon, we are going to get going right into the bills. So the first bill up is House Bill 1017, an act to revise the appropriation for the construction of a cold storage building located in Sioux Falls and to declare an emergency.
And Madam Chair.
Yes.
The revised agenda doesn't show 1017.
I do not have the revised agenda.
The revised agenda, thank you, Madam Chair, apologize, shows just 1013 and 1039. I just pulled it up. That's why I was asking.
Okay. 1013 and 1039 is what we had on the House floor this afternoon. So
okay.
If you're looking at the agenda for February 8th, the first bill should be House Bill 1017.
Madam Chair, there are five bills.
Correct. Correct. So we're going to get going on House Bill 1017, an act to revise the appropriation for the construction of a cold storage building located in Sioux Falls and to declare an emergency, and we will start by taking proponent testimony at this time.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Major General Jeff Marlette, Adjutant General for the South Dakota National Guard. And I rise today to ask for your support on House Bill 1017. As you are aware, this was a cold storage facility in Sioux Falls that was actually is 100% federal and was appropriated for, received the authority during the 2019 session. We've had some changes in the units assigned to that area. Mainly the 115 signal company out of Brookings has now moved down, so we need that facility to be a little bit larger. Plus we have a new unit coming in with the artillery, and so this change is simply an additional square footage to make it work. And then there is some additional costs with the update to construction costs since it was originally done. So it's we're asking for $750,000 for this cold storage building in Sioux Falls. And as I said, this is for federal expenditure authority and does not involve any state funds. And I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, General Marlette. Is there any further proponent testimony? Okay, seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? All right. right. Well, seeing no opponent testimony, I'll waive the rebuttal and go to questions and or action by the committee.
Madam Chair. Thank you. Question for Adjutant General, please. In 2019, Session Law Chapter 139, Section 4, shows that there was $354,000 given to a spending authority for a cold storage building. Has that building been erected, and is this a new building?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
I believe that, off the top of my head, I believe that was for the one in Aberdeen, if I'm not mistaken. And I think Aberdeen was the first one for that price. $396 was the one in Sioux Falls, and that has not been erected. That's this one that is we're discussing. It could be mistaken.
Follow-up?
Marshall, are you tracking? That was 354 would have been Aberdeen, was it not?
Yeah. That's for this one. We're increasing the spending authority.
About 354.
I'd have to look at that specifically, that one, but we did build one in Aberdeen. We have not yet built one in Sioux Falls. So I guess without looking at that.
Did you have a follow-up?
I'm trying to pull it out here.
Okay. Maybe we'll see if there's any other questions.
Not sure.
Representative Haugard.
Madam Chair, I do stand corrected. I misread this. Yes, it was originally 354. We're increasing by 396. I'm sorry. I misread my line.
Okay, we'll go back to Representative Mullally for a follow-up.
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that. Yes. So, yes, I did finally pull it up, and it was for the Foss Field or immediate vicinity in Sioux Falls.
Correct.
And the sum was $354,000. So is this $750,000 in addition to or up to?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's an additional $396 to go up to a total of $750. For a total of $750 overall.
Okay. Representative Haugard, did you still have a question?
Yeah, just as a follow-up to that, is there any need to correct the authorization we granted previously? Because this we can see is clearly intended to be a total of $750,000, but we granted that expenditure authority last year. Apparently, that hasn't been used.
Madam Chair, my understanding is that original $354,000 expenditure authority is still valid, and so we need to ask for an additional $396,000 in federal expenditure authority to come to the total of $750,000.
Follow up?
So, yes, thank you. So my question is, are we creating any kind of problem by not clarifying that in this bill?
Madam Chair, I don't believe so, but let me double check with our
attorney. I think if I'm hearing you right, the question is whether or not this should be $750,000 or if it should be the difference between $750,000 and $354,000.
Yeah, that's basically the question, just so that we don't have any confusion on the part, on the part of any accounting purposes that we might have to go through with federal expenditure.
That's our question.
Madam Chairman.
Go ahead and identify yourself.
Yeah, this is going to amend.
Identify yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Connie Hohn. I'm the finance director for the Department of Military.
Go ahead.
And this is going to amend the prior bill from 2019 session law. So it's just increasing it. We have the 354 and we're just increasing it to 750 total.
All right, I see that now. I see that it is proposed specifically as an amendment, so it'd be a total of 750. Thank you.
Representative Duba? Thank
you. Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
I'm ready to take action and move to pass.
Okay, so we have a do pass motion by Representative Duba and a second by Representative Mullally. Any comment, discussion? Okay. Mr. Secretary, would you mind calling the roll?
Representative Duba.
Aye.
Fitzgerald.
Aye.
Gross. Always excused. Halgard.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Mills.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
How, Vice Chair Howard.
Aye.
Chair Carr.
Absent excused.
Madam Chair, there is 7 yeas, 2 excused.
All right. So on a 7-2 vote, that bill, House Bill 1017, will be moving to the floor. Representative Mills, would you mind carrying that on the floor? All right, so we're going to move on to the second bill today. That's House Bill 1018, to authorize the construction of a National Guard Readiness Center in Sioux Falls, to make an appropriation therefore, and to declare an emergency. So we will open it up for proponent testimony.
Madam Chair, again, Jeff Marlette, Adjutant General for South Dakota National Guard. House Bill 1018 is for a new readiness center in Sioux Falls. This is an opportunity for us to provide a new facility in that area for increased force structure that we have coming. We currently have 23 National Guard armories across the state of South Dakota, as which many of you know, are many of them are aging on that 50 and 60 year mark. And so we have been routinely been able to build a new readiness center one of about every 5 to 6 years. And this facility was actually scheduled to be built in 24. But because of South Dakota's reputation, National Guard Bureau called and said, can you move this up into 22? And so that's why we're here with you now at this point. These are a 75% federal, 25% state facility, $20 million facility. And so when we presented this a week ago before the House Military and Veterans, what we originally were asking for was $500,000 in state and $1.5 in federal authority, $1.5 million. And at that time, that committee moved to amend this and to request the entire amount of $5 million in state funds and authorize the $15 million in federal spending authority. This facility would be located, if you're familiar with Sioux Falls, it would be located east of the Sioux Falls Airport, a couple miles. We already have land, about 30 acres for it, and this is designed to house a unit of about 120 to 150 soldiers is what it's designed for. So, and I will stop there and honor your time today and wait for questions should you have any.
Okay. Thank you. Although we thank you for coming in today as well and apologize for keeping you so late. All right. Is there further proponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Didn't think so. Okay. So I will waive the rebuttal and we'll move into question and or action by the committee. Representative Halgard.
Thank you. Question for General Marlette. Just to clarify, is this over there just off 229 Benson Road?
In that general area, if you know where our maintenance facility is at, our MATE site, it's in that vicinity. Okay. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I should have came to you first.
And is the $20 million the total of the project cost, or is there anything expected to exceed that, or could it be less than that?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
That is our anticipated total cost. We have the facility we just recently built in Rapid City did come in under budget. However, the building costs in the Sioux Falls area seem to hold pretty true. They're a little higher than what they seem to be running in West River. So we anticipate it'll be very near that $20 million total cost.
Follow-up?
Go ahead.
Is this facility going to be similar to the one in Rapid City, or is it the same design, purpose? Madam Chair. It's designed around a different type of unit. That one was designed around an aviation unit. This one is designed around an engineer unit, and they have different models for different units based on the number of troops they anticipate to put in there. They have a square footage authorization allocation. This one's about 42,000 square feet. So it'll be, my memory serves, will be slightly smaller than the one that's at the Rapid City Airport.
Right. Representative May.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you'll have to bear with me. I'm new on this committee, so I'm going to probably ask some questions that have already everybody else already probably knows. But I'm curious, are these state-owned facilities? Are they considered state-owned, even with the federal money?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
There are 75-25, so they come with rules, federal rules, and remain state or joint-owned, because if you were to ever divest of that property, there are some federal requirements in there and could even be a payback. So they have a shelf life, and should we move out of there earlier than what that anticipated life is, we did have an instance in South Dakota where we had to have a payback because we vacated that facility earlier than what the original lifespan was. So they do maintain a hold into that facility for the life of the facility.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So on the M&R then, how does that work? Is there a cost share on that with the federal government then, or is the state responsible for the M&R?
Madam Chair, yeah, it's primarily state.
Primarily state. Follow up.
Go ahead.
Do you have any kind of cost comparisons on the M&R on previous buildings that we have out there and what it cost the state taxpayers, the general fund, or whatever, the cost associated with that?
Madam Chair,
go ahead.
I do not have with me, but I'd be happy to get those for you. I can tell you that South Dakota is a leader in building what's the can't think of the right term.
Lead
buildings, and highly environmentally considerate, and as we said, we won awards on a national level, so those are all going in there to be as efficient as they possibly can. But if you would like some further detail on those, I can certainly get you those figures.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. Obviously, we need this, but I would like to have more information on the breakdown of the cost shares between the federal government and the state and what the state is responsible for as far as the ongoing M&R cost.
Sure.
And any other cost associated with it, maybe on the insurance. I assume that they're under the insurance policy, and what, as a state, we are contributing ongoing.
Sure. And Connie, maybe to ask, sure.
Madam Chairman.
Go ahead.
My name's Connie Hone. I'm the finance director with the Department of Military. Depending on what armory we're talking about, this one in particular will be a 25-75 split, including with the M&R. So that will be included in that. There's some armories that are 100% federal reimbursed. So those are, 100% reimbursed by the federal government for repairs. So it depends on that. As far as the insurance, the captive insurance, that's a pretty good gig as well, because we also have, they have insurance through Active Nature, a federal program that they have through the military. So our insurance is pretty reasonable as well.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate that, and it's good information to have right now. But in the future, if you could, at some point, get this committee kind of the breakdown of all that, so we can kind of see where, on paper, we can look at it and see. I think we'd all appreciate the knowledge.
Sure, Madam Chair. Also, we have, if you look at our narratives on the budget system, we have our list of what our plans are for repairs for the next 2 years. So you can see which armories we're going to go into and how much general funds and how much federal funds are being budgeted. Is that kind of what you're looking for as well?
Probably follow up.
Go ahead.
Can you look on there and, thank you, Madam Chair, can you look on there and go backwards and see what we've done previously?
Madam Chair, Go ahead. You can look at prior budgets, yes, and you would see that they're printed every year. So you could look at previous budgets.
Madam Chair, if maybe you could just send it to staff and they can get it to us, would probably be the simplest, the link or whatever.
Sure.
We're all kind of illiterate when it comes to all that.
Sure. No problem.
Thank you.
Speak for yourself.
Any other questions? Representative Haugard?
Yes, just a little bit of a follow-up question in regard to the staffing costs and in addition to the M&R, but staffing costs and that sort of thing. Is that a 75-25 split as well with the guard?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Yes, they are. And they're normally, a facility that size is normally staffed with one full-time employee as far as for maintenance and those type of things, and then some seasonal help as needed. Oftentimes, we'll work with Department of Corrections and do some things as well, but generally there's one full-time employee in a facility that size.
And then another follow-up, too.
Go ahead.
Wondering about zoning issues. I'm assuming all that's explored and you understand exactly what impact it's going to have on surrounding properties, but given what is likely going to be stored within those facilities, I'm wondering if that adversely impacts any of the land use immediately surrounding that area.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
We've worked very closely with the City of Sioux Falls on this, and as I said, there's currently a maintenance shop in that facility, in that area. So we believe we're clean on the zoning laws with that as well. And we continue to work with the City of Sioux Falls on that.
And just as a follow-up to that, what I'm wondering, though, is there's likely going to be munitions stored there at some point or not?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
No, there would be... we don't have a range in that area to where there would be, if they go to fire their weapons, they go to a range, they draw their munitions at those locations.
Okay. Presently, as follow-up to that, presently, is that a local range outside of Sioux Falls, or is that...
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
There is a pistol range at the Armory, or the current readiness center. Wouldn't be one at this new location, and those are drawn and shot as needed at that point.
Representative Mullally.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one question. What is the life expectancy of this building?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
50 years.
All right. Well, I guess I do have a question. I'm wondering, so Rapid City got the new Readiness Center. I mean, it was just completed not too long ago. Beautiful facility. And then Sioux Falls. What's next on the list?
Madam Chair, we are looking right now at Mitchell as a aging facilities that we could, based on the population there. We've also looking in the Black Hills, in that Northern Hills area, and haven't actually said which community, but we have some aging facilities. We're currently utilizing some space on Black Hill State University campus that, as they've grown, would probably be better if we were in a different location. So that would be within the top three. As our next possible facility would become available is probably in late 20s. And so at this point, they're kind of a... some possibilities, and then as we draw near, based on the changes and what we have available, we'll decide the actual location. But I would say those two are probably the next two. And then we also have a maintenance facility that is scheduled to be built in Watertown in the 2025 area. The current facility is in Webster and is probably 50 to 55 years old, so that'll be replaced with one closer to the new Readiness Center in Watertown, and that should be in 2025.
Thank you. Any further questions?
And I might add, that's 100% federal, the maintenance facility in Watertown.
Great. All right. If there are no further actions, I would entertain a motion.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would move a due pass on HB 1018.
I'll second.
Okay. I think the second was by Representative Haugard. But I'm new at this, so maybe I misheard, but I'm going to give him the credit for that. So we had a motion by Representative Mullally and a second by Representative Haugard, a due pass on House Bill 1018. Mr. Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Duba.
Aye.
Fitzgerald.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Mills.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
Vice Chair Howard.
Aye.
Adam, there are 7 yeas, 2 excused.
All right, on a vote of 7-2, House Bill 1018 will move on to the floor. Representative Mullally, would you mind carrying that?
Yes, I would.
Thank you so much. All right, so now we're going to move on to House Bill 1020, an act to make an appropriation to continue the Veterans Bonus Program and to declare an emergency. And we will now open it up to proponent testimony.
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Aaron Pollard. I am the Deputy Secretary for the South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm here today to seek your support for House Bill 1020. House Bill 1020 does appropriate $400,000 to the Department of Veterans Affairs for the purpose of continuation of the Veterans Bonus. The Veterans Bonus is paid to eligible veterans who serve on active duty after January 1st of 1993. Each eligible veteran can receive up to $500 for that state bonus. Typically, the $500 payment is a one-time payment, but there is one exception. Veterans with active duty service prior to December 31st of 1992, which would be Desert Storm era only, and after January 1st of 1993, may be eligible for a bonus of up to $500 for each of those periods of service. The Veterans Bonus Program has been in existence since World War I, and a bonus has been paid for each major conflict since. At the current rate of spending, by appropriating the additional one-time funding of $400,000, it will ensure that the bonus program is funded for an additional 3 to 4 years. This will ensure that eligible veterans who are called to active duty can receive a small token of thanks from South Dakota for answering the call to serve when they come home. I thank you for your support, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you very much, and thank you for calling in to testify there. Do we have any proponent testimony? All right. Any opponent testimony? Well, this is just moving right along. Okay, we will waive rebuttal then and go into committee. Does anyone have questions? Questions? Okay, Representative Algard.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question in regard to the anticipated numbers per year. Is there a chart that, maybe you've got one out there that I didn't see already, but is there a chart that just shows those expenditures on an annual basis over the past 20 to 30 years?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
I don't have that information in front of me. I can tell you, Representative, that we spend approximately $134,000 per year for the last 8 years. How much is going to be spent on the bonus is obviously contingent upon how many deployments we have and how many active duty folks we have coming back home. So I don't know if we have trends going back that far, but if Connie's in the room, Connie Hohen, our finance director, she might be able to answer if we'd be able to easily get that information. She loves it when I call on her.
Yeah, I don't think she's too fond of this right now. So, but thank you for being so willing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Connie Hohen, Finance Director for the Department of Veteran Affairs. I know we can go back. I'm not sure if we can get back 20 years, but I can dig if you want as far back as that.
Follow
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you could just, if you could go back that far, I don't want to make a lot of work for you, but if there's a way that you could just show what that trend line has been, and it would probably be better if it was like 30 years just to see the difference from 1990, and then we get into 2001, and there certainly was an uptick there, I would expect.
Sure.
And just to know how that fund has gone up and down, and what we might anticipate in the future. I know that's hard to speculate about that, but again, I don't want to create a lot of extra work, but okay. I'm assuming that there's probably a year-end total that you'd be able to reference.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair,
yeah. Go ahead.
I will get with Carter, your LRC analyst, and get that information to him.
Great.
Yep.
Okay, Representative May.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and bear with me, Connie. So when you when we appropriate this $400,000, and we do that every year, I don't know what was done last year, but if you don't spend all of that, then what happens?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
So this has been standard practice. We don't come in every year and ask for this. I can tell you back in 2012, we had a bill for $1 million, and that was passed. And then it sits in our account. We have a special appropriate for that, and there's no reversion date on it. So, and then back in 2019, we also passed a bill, or you also passed a bill for $600,000. And so this is just to it's in a standard practice just to keep that that fund sub or balanced, or I should, what am I trying to say, up for 7 to 8 years. We're trying to, you know, just make sure it's funded. So that's what we're here for.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm not trying to be difficult, but I'm new, so I'm really trying to learn this. And so is there a certain amount that you have to keep in that fund? Is there like a
Madam
a
Chair?
Go ahead.
Yeah, there you go, a minimum.
There is no minimum. We're just trying to make sure that it's funded for 8 to 10 years.
Okay. That's good. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome, Mills.
So I'm curious, what's the current balance in this fund? Excuse me.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
It's approximately $600,000.
Okay, good follow-up.
What's the reasoning behind, if we're, excuse me, if we're spending $134,000 a year, and that's kind of been our history for the last 8 years, what's the reasoning behind stockpiling, maybe it's not the right word, but, you know, 8 to 10 years of this money?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
I don't know exactly what the reason is. I think we're just, you know, we just want to be prepared. It's in state statute that we have to pay these funds, and so we're just being prepared with it. Like I said, in 2012 we did, the legislature passed $1 million, added $1 million to it. 2019 we did $600,000. We just want to keep it around that $1 million mark just to, you know, make sure that it's funded for future years.
Any more questions, Representative Haugard?
Yeah, I'm wondering, we have a number of situations like this throughout state government where we just do backfills each year. So we get the bill, essentially, and reimburse those funds. Is there any reason why we couldn't do that with this particular program?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
I have no idea. I'll have to check on that.
Okay. I have a question for Mr. Pollard. Are you still there?
Yes, yes, Madam Chair, I'm there.
Okay.
We're here. I'm here and you're there.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering, I mean, do you see an increase in the numbers that are eligible to apply for this as we see more of our National Guard deploying and spending time on active duty? Have you seen that increase over the years? And is that impacting, you know, what we're giving out in bonuses?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
So I would say since we, you know, since we invaded Iraq in 2003, there probably was a sharp trending up of those who were eligible to receive the state bonus. And after some time, that trend line probably would level out, because you'd have people going on their second or third deployment and they wouldn't be eligible for the bonus again. So that would probably level out. I don't think it continues to rise sharply, because until this current conflict ends and the federal government ends this conflict and, for lack of a better term, starts another one or names another one, that this is the global war on terror, just hasn't ended. Once this one ends and then there's a new conflict and the legislators would pass a new bonus for that new conflict, you would probably see that same sharp trend upwards with a leveling out as time went on. I hope that answers your question.
It did. Thank you.
It did. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Representative Duba.
Representative Duba.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Hey, Mr. Pollard, could you maybe mute your mic? Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Deputy Secretary Pollard, I want to, on behalf of my family, this is more of a comment. I want to thank you. I had two brothers who served in the National Guard here, who were both deployed overseas and both received the bonus. So we're very thankful about that. And I will, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
May I move? Can we move to action now?
Hey, yes, we can move to action.
I move, do pass.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Okay, so there's been a motion of due pass for House Bill 1020 to make an appropriation to continue the Veterans Bonus Program and to declare an emergency by Representative Duba and seconded by Representative Fitzgerald. Mr. Secretary, would you call the roll, please? Oh, comments, yes. Are there any comments on the motion? Sorry. All right, seeing no comment. Okay, Representative Haugart.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Trying to be responsible with the dollars involved, certainly don't want to take away from anything away from the Veterans Bonus Program, but since there's already somewhere around $600,000 in the fund and they've been averaging 130 or so, they essentially have at least 3 or 4 years of funds available. It seems like it'd be more appropriate to either move to a process of backfilling or just monitor the account, and when they get close to the need, then to address it at that point. But we have somewhere around 200 funds in state government that are essentially fund or accounts that hold additional funds that aren't being used, and this would just be one more of those. I think it'd be prudent just to keep it at this level right now and revisit this in a couple of years, but as far as allocating the funds, not opposed to it. Certainly it's an obligation I think we have as a state to respect our veterans, but I think it'd be wise at this point just to defer this to next year, the year after, whenever the account gets to a point where it needs to be beefed up again.
Any other comments? Representative Mills.
I think I'm going to piggyback on what Representative Haugart said. I mean, we have 4.5 years of funds sitting in an account. I don't see a reason why we would need to accumulate more funds that we don't need for 4.5 years. Certainly, we all support our veterans, but a vote against this bill today is not a vote against our veterans. It's a vote for fiscal conservation, and so I'll be opposing the current motion.
I'll just add a comment here. I would encourage a yes vote on this. There's valid points that have been brought up, and I think that's definitely something that we could look at going forward. This is a motion that's in front of us. You know, there isn't a substitute motion. This is a motion of due pass. So I think the fund's been well managed. I think it is what it is right now. It's a good program. We want to continue it. I think there's good points, valid points. I think we could look at that going forward, but I would encourage a yes vote on this today.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Representative Molly.
Excuse me. I also am going to encourage a yes vote with the understanding that if it comes before the appropriations in the next 4 years, I'll be voting against it.
Representative Fitzgerald, did you have comment? Okay. All right. I think we're ready to, Mr. Secretary, would you call the roll?
Representative Duba.
Aye.
Fitzgerald.
Aye.
Rose. Excuse. Halgard.
No.
May.
No.
Bills.
No.
O'Lally.
Yes.
Vice Chair Howard.
Aye.
You have four yeas and three nays and two excused.
All right. On a count of 4-3, House Bill 1020 will move to the floor. And we will now move on to House Bill 1026 to make an appropriation for the payment of extraordinary litigation expenses and to declare an emergency. And we will open it up for proponent testimony at this time.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman. Scott Bollinger, Bureau of Administration. You heard a little bit about this morning in appropriations and joint. What you have before you is House Bill 1026, which appropriates $400,000. And I appreciate Representative Huggard's segue into backfilling funds for me. This is one of those accounts where the Extraordinary Litigation Fund, or as I call it, ELF, it covers legal cases that are not covered by the public entity pool for liability. They're typically done with acts of the legislature that may get challenged or someone that challenges the state on the validity of other laws in prior years and so on, and we have to defend them. If you've looked in your OneNote system, I think it's in your OneNote system, we provide you three pages of information. One is kind of a history on the Extraordinary Litigation Fund. It was created in 2004, and it was designed to provide legal costs associated with defending the state. It's actually, in the time I've been with BOA, the smallest request we've ever had, which is good to have. But we estimate by the end of fiscal year 2021 that the balance will be in the hole nearly $400,000. And so what we're requesting from you today is approval to appropriate the money for this fund so that at the end of the year we can end it at either at zero or positive balance. With that, Madam Chair, with the hour being late, I'll be brief. And I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you so
much. Thank you for your support.
Okay. We will then, are there any other proponent testimonies? Okay, seeing none, we'll move into opponent testimony. All right, and seeing none, we will waive rebuttal and move into committee questions and or action.
I would move for action to vote on this.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
So we have a motion by Representative Fitzgerald of DuPass on House Bill 1026 to make an appropriation for the payment of extraordinary litigation expenses and to declare an emergency, with a second by Representative May. Mr. Arnie, any comments on that discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Duba.
Aye.
Fitzgerald.
Aye.
Halgard.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Mills.
Aye.
O'Lally.
Aye.
Vice Chair Howard.
Aye.
Madam Chair, you have 7 yeas, 2 excused.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. All right, that motion, Pat, that bill did pass. Representative May, would you mind carrying that on the floor? Thank you. All right, so we're going to move into the... Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I haven't figured out my computer real well yet. So can you tell me again where to find the documentation of what we're paying for? Because I know that's going to get asked.
Secretary Bollinger, would you like to answer that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative May, if you're on the LRC website and you go under the budget documents for BOA, you will find those three sheets there.
Budget resources, Adam.
Should be under BOA. Yeah. I'll help you find them afterwards.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to move on to the last bill of the day, House Bill 1038, to make an appropriation from the Coordinated Natural Resources Conservation Fund to the State Conservation Commission and to declare an emergency. And we will open it up now for proponent testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bill Smith. I'm the Division Director for the Division of Resource Conservation and Forestry inside the Department of Agriculture. With your permission, Madam Chair, I have two handouts I'd like to hand out to the committee.
Sure, the pages can help you with that. Thank you.
And for the sake of time, while these are being passed around, I'll go through my testimony. House Bill 1038 is not asking for an appropriation of general funds. It is simply authorizing the State Conservation Commission to expend funds that are deposited into the Coordinated Natural Resource Conservation Fund every July 1st. You may ask where these funds are from. These funds are deposited from the motor fuel tax. And back prior to 2011, there used to be a formula for what was deposited in there based upon unclaimed, unused, or unclaimed non-off-road motor fuel taxes. In 2011, that formula was simplified, so a flat $500,000 went into the fund every year. These funds are used to help the conservation districts throughout the state to work on projects with landowners to improve natural resources quality. The first handout before you is the projects are based upon the goals and objectives in the Coordinated Plan for Natural Resource Conservation. That's that little brochure there that talks about those goals and objectives. And then the second handout is the larger handout. This talks about actual projects that have been implemented since this program has been in place. Some highlights since 1993, there's been 689 projects that have been implemented throughout the state. $22,513,525 have been awarded to 68 conservation districts. The funds have been matched by other partners, and other partners out there include local landowners, conservation districts, water development districts, game fish and parks, Fish and Wildlife Service, Natural Resource Conservation Service. But those funds have been matched to the tune of $76,974,635. And so, in other words, for every dollar that the legislature's put into this program, it's been matched by $3.42 of other funds. So with that, Madam Chair, I will stand by. I conclude my testimony. I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Is there any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, good evening, Madam Vice Chair, and members of the Appropriations Committee. My name is Angela Ehlers. I represent South Dakota's conservation districts, and we do rise in support of House Bill 1038. What you're receiving, we asked the conservation districts to give us an annual report, and Representative Gross has seen this, I'm sorry already, but and so I took one of the conservation districts, Orin, Representative Mays, Badlands and Bennett operate close together, so you got two. So you can see what's going on in each of your conservation districts with your legislative district. Some of the projects that I think are pretty unique, we do a lot of standard projects like tree planting and grass seedings. But, for example, in Lawrence County, when we did some fire renewal restoration, they did thinning. We also, Dan, did another program there in succession planting in trees. If you're in the Black Hills, you'll notice that you often see aspen come in first, and then we get the pines, et cetera. The aspen sometimes get crowded out, so we did an aspen regeneration project in the Lawrence County, which is really cool because it helped rebuild that habitat in the Black Hills. We've done really cool pollinator programs in the eastern part of the state. We've done watershed work on several of the watersheds. We've been very active in the soil health movement. One of the areas where we're hoping to move again, more aggressively, is with the Emerald Ash Borer program. We have a lot of small towns in this state that don't have foresters, and they don't have anybody that can really assist them with helping with Emerald Ash. And we've got a lot of parks and a lot of boulevards that have Emerald Ash, and they're going to die, and they're going to be a problem. And it's an opportunity for us to work well with the communities and to address a very pressing need in this state. So we do appreciate your support of this program. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further proponent testimony? And thank you guys again so much for staying with us this late in the evening. Is there any opponent testimony? Okay. Seeing none, we'll waive proponent rebuttal and move into committee questions slash action.
I would move to pass on House Bill 1038.
Okay. So Representative Mills made a do-pass motion on House Bill 1038. Representative Duba seconded. It is an act to make an appropriation from the Coordinated Natural Resources Conservation Fund to the State Conservation Commission and to declare an emergency. Is there any discussion on the action motion? No? All right. Well, I'll just say you guys do an outstanding job. We thank you for what you're doing to preserve our natural resources. And, Mr. Secretary, would you call roll?
Representative Duba.
Aye.
Fitzgerald.
Aye.
Halgard.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Mills.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
Vice Chair Howard.
Aye.
Gross is here and votes aye.
That is 8 yeas, 1 excused.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And Representative Gross, would you mind carrying this on the floor?
I'd be honored. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So on that vote, that motion passes, and Representative Gross will carry it on the floor. And that wraps up the business for today. So I want to thank everybody again for staying late and allowing us to get through some bills. And that will conclude our business for today. So the House Committee on Appropriations is... Oh, I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
All right. On that, everybody in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. House Committee on Appropriations is now adjourned.